Chapter 12. This indeed they are said to have repented of sins, but however, these it seems, were not of the plot, and therefore did not foresee what was at hand. The rest of the patriarchs who were all in the grand design, and saw things ripening for its execution, upon the apprehension of this court of searches beginning with them, make an humble address to their prince, containing the reasons why they could not comply with his royal command. The incensed king upbraided them with his having been told by them of their absolute and unreserved obedience, and refusing their submissions or their reasons, sent them all to jail, and resolved to have brought them before his new high court of searches, in order, as was believed, to have them all displaced. And now all began to be in a flame, the solicitations of the Salinarian party, having obtained powerful relief abroad, they began to make suitable preparations at home. The gentry and nobility who the clergy had brought to join with them, furnished themselves with horses and arms, and prepared with their tenants and dependents to join the succors, as soon as they should arrive. In short, the foreign troops they had procured, arrived, landed, and published a long declaration of all the grievances which they came to redress. No sooner was this foreign army arrived with the prince at the head of them, but the face of affairs altered on a sudden. The king indeed, like a brave prince, drew all his forces together, and marching out of his capital city, advanced above 500 stages, things they measure land within those countries, and much about our furlong, to meet his enemy. He had a gallant army well appointed and furnished, and all things much superior to his adversary, but alas the poison of disobedience was gotten in there, and upon the first march he offered, to make towards the enemy one of his great captains with a strong party of his men, went over and revolted. This example was applauded all over the nation, and by this time one of the patriarchs, even the same mentioned before that had, so often preached non-resistance of princes, lays by his sacred vestments, mitre, and staff, and exchanging his robes for a soldier's coat, mounts on horseback, and in short, appears in arms against his lord. Nor was this all, but the treacherous prelate takes along with him several Salinarian lords, and persons of the highest figure, and of the household, and family of the king, and with him went the king's own daughter, his principal favorites and friends. At the news of this, the poor deserted prince lost all courage, and abandoning himself to despair, he causes his army, to retreat without fighting a stroke, quits them and the kingdom at once, and takes sanctuary with such as could escape with him, in the court of a neighboring prince. I have heard this prince exceedingly blamed, for giving himself up to despair so soon, that he thereby abandoned the best and faithfulest of his friends, and servants, and left them to the mercy of the Salinarians, that when all these that would have forsaken him were gone, he had forces equal to his enemies, that his men were in heart, fresh and forward, that he should have stood to the last, retreated to a strong town, where his ships rod, and which was over against the territories of his great ally, to whom he might have delivered up the ships which were there, and have thereby made him superior at sea to his enemies, and he was already much superior at land, that there he might have been relieved with forces too strong for them to match, and at least, might have put it to the issue of a fair battle. Others, that he might have retreated to his own court, and capital city, and taking possession of the citadel, which was his own, might so have awed the citizens who were infinitely rich, and numerous, with the apprehensions of having their houses burnt, they would not have dared, to have declared for his enemies, for fear of being reduced to heaps and ruins, and that at last he might have set the city on fire in 500 places, and left the Salinarian churchmen a token, to remember their non-resisting doctrine by, and yet have made an easy retreat down the harbor, to other forts he had below, and might with ease have destroyed all the shipping, as he went. his confessor had he done either, or both these things, he had left them a dear bought victory, but he was deprived of his counselor, for as soon as things came to this height, the Achitophel we have so often mentioned, left him also, and went away, all his Abragrasian priests to Fosicum, and he was so bereft of counsel, that he fell into the hands of his enemies as he was making his escape, but he got away again, not without the connivance of the enemy, who were willing enough he should go, so he got a vessel, to carry him over to the neighboring kingdom, and all his armies, ships, forts, castles, magazines, and treasure, fell into his enemies' hands. The neighboring prince entertained him very kindly, cherished him, succored him, and furnished him with armies and fleets for the recovery of his dominions, which has occasioned a tedious war with that prince, which continues to this day. Thus far passive doctrines, and absolute submission served a turn, bubbled the prince, wheedled him into take their word who professed it, till he laid his finger upon the men themselves, and that unraveled all the cheat. They were the first that called in foreign power, and took up arms against their prince. Nor did they end here, but all this scene being over, and the foreign prince having thus delivered them, and their own king being thus chased away, the people call themselves together, and as reason good, having been delivered by him from the miseries, brangles, oppressions, and divisions of the former reign, they thought they could do no less than to crown their deliverer, and having summoned a general assembly of all their capital men, they gave the crown to this prince who had so generously saved them. And here again I heard the first king exceedingly blamed for quitting his dominions, for had he stayed here, though he had actually been in their hands, unless they would have murdered him, they could never have proceeded to the extremities they did reach to, nor could they ever have crowned the other prince, he being yet alive, and in his own dominions. But by quitting the country, they fixed a legal period to their obedience, he having deserted their protection and defense, and openly laid down the administration. But as these sort of politics cannot be decided by us, unless we know the constitutions of those lunar regions, so we cannot pretend to make a decision of what might or might not have happened. It remains to examine how those Salianarians behaved themselves, who had so earnestly cried up the principles of obedience and absolute submission. Nothing was so ridiculous. Now they saw what they had done, they began to repent, and upon recollection of thoughts some were so ashamed of themselves, that having broken their doctrine, and being now called upon to transpass their allegiance, truly they stopped in the midway, and so became martyrs on both sides. I can liken these to nothing so well, as to those gentlemen of our English church, who though they broke into the principles of passive obedience by joining, and calling over the P.O., yet suffered deprivations of benefices, and loss of their livings, for not taking the oath, as if they had not as effectually perjured themselves, by taking up arms against their king, and joining a foreign power, as they could possibly do afterward, by swearing to live quietly under the next king. But these nice gentlemen are infinitely outdone in these countries, for these Salianarians by a true church turn, not only refuse to transpose their allegiance, but pretend to wipe their mouths, as to former taking arms, and return to their old doctrines of absolute submission, boast of martyrdom, and boldly reconcile the contraries of taking up arms, and non-resistance, charging all their brethren with schism, rebellion, perjury, and the damnable sin of resistance. Nor is this all, for as a great many of these Salianarian churchmen had no affection to this new prince, but were not equally furnished, or qualified for martyrdom with their brethren, they went to certain wise men, who being cunning at splitting hairs, and making distinctions, might perhaps furnish them with some mediums between loyalty and disloyalty, They applied themselves with great diligence to these men, and they by deep study and long search either found or made the quaintest device for them that ever was heard of. By this unheard-of discovery, to their great joy and satisfaction, they have erivated a power which all the wise men in our world could never pretend to, and which 'tis thought, could the description of it be regularly made and brought down hither, would serve for the satisfaction and repose of a great many tender consciences, who are very uneasy at swearing to save their benefices. These great makers of distinction have learned to distinguish between active swearing and passive swearing, between de facto loyalty and de jure loyalty, and by this decent acquirement they obtain the art of reconciling swearing allegiance without loyalty, and loyalty without swearing, so that native and original loyalty may be preserved pure and uninterrupted, in spite of all subsequent oaths, to prevailing usurpations. Many are the mysteries and vast the advantages of this new invented method. Mental reservations, innuendos, and double meanings are toys to this, for they may be provided for in the literal terms of an oath, but no provision can be made against this, for these men, after they have taken the oath, make no scruple to declare they only swear to be quiet, as long as they can make no disturbance, that they are left liberty still to espouse the interest and cause of their former prince. They nicely distinguish between obedience and submission, and tell you a slave taken into captivity, though he swears to live peaceably, does not thereby renounce his allegiance to his natural prince, nor abridge himself of a right to attempt his own liberty, if ever opportunity present. Had these neat distinctions been found out before, none of our Salianarian clergy, no, not the patriarchs themselves, surely would have stood out and suffered such depredations on their fortunes and characters as they did. They would never have been such fools to have been turned out of their livings for not swearing, when they might have learned here that they might have swore to one prince and yet have retained their allegiance to another. Might have taken an oath to the new, without impeachment of their old oaths to the absent prince. It is great pity these gentlemen had not gone up to the moon for instruction in this difficult case. There they might have met with excellent logicians, men of most sublime reasons, Dr. Overall, Dr. Sherlock, and all our nice examiners of these things would appear to be nobody to them. For as the people in these regions have an extraordinary eyesight, and the clearness of the air contributes much to the help of their optics, so they have without doubt a proportionate clearness of discerning, by which they see as far into millstones, and all sorts of solids, as the nature of things will permit. But above all, their faculties are blessed with two exceeding advantages. 1. With an extraordinary distinguishing power, by which they can distinguish even indivisibles, part unity itself, divide principles, and distinguish truth into such and so many minute particles, till they dwindle it away into a very nose of wax, and mold it into any form they have occasion for, by which means they can distinguish themselves into, or out of any opinion, either in religion, politics or civil right, that their present emergencies may call for. 2. Their reasoning faculties have this further advantage, that upon occasion they can see clearly for themselves, and prevent others from the same discovery, so that when they have occasion to see anything which presents for their own advantage, they can search into the particulars, make it clear to themselves, and yet let it remain dark and mysterious to all the world besides. Whether this is performed by their exceeding penetration, or by casting an artificial veil over the understandings of the vulgar, authors have not yet determined. But that the fact is true, admits of no dispute. And the wonderful benefit of these things in point of dispute is extraordinary, for they can see clearly they have the better of an argument, when all the rest of the world think they have not a word to say for themselves. 'Tis plain to them that this or that proves a thing, when nature, by common reasoning, knows no such consequences. I confess I have seen some weak attempts at this extraordinary talent, particularly in the disputes in England between the Church and the Dissenter, and between the High and Low Church, wherein people have tolerably well convinced themselves, when nobody else could see anything of the matter, as particularly the famous Mr. W. Lie about the anti-monarchical principles taught in the Dissenters' academies. Ditto in 50. Sly, about the Dissenters burning the city, and setting fire to their own houses to destroy their neighbors. And another famous author, who proved that Christopher Love lost his head for attempting to pull down monarchy by restoring King Charles II. These indeed are some faint resemblances of what I am upon. But alas! These are tender sort of people, that hand obtained a complete victory over their consciences, but suffer that trifle, to reproach them all the while they are doing it, to rebel against their resolved wills, and check them in the middle of the design, from which interruptions arise palpitations of the heart, sickness, and squeamishness of stomach, and these have proceeded to castings and vomit, whereby they have been forked sometimes, to throw up some such unhappy truths as have confounded all the rest, and flown in their own faces so violently, as in spite of custom has made them blush and look downward. And so in kindness to one another they have carefully licked up one another's filth, yet this unhappy squeamishness of stomach has spoiled all the design, and turned the appetites of their party, to the no small prejudice of a cause, that stood in need of more art and more face, to carry it on as it should be with a thorough packed case hardened policy, such as I have been relating, is completely obtained in these regions, where the arts and excellencies of sublime reasonings are carried up to all the extraordinaries of banishing scruples, reconciling contradictions, uniting opposites, and all the necessary circumstances required in a complete casuist. 'Tis not easily conceivable to what extraordinary flights they have carried this strength of reasoning, for besides the distinguishing nicely between truth and error, they obtain a most refined method of distinguishing truth itself in two seasons and circumstances, and so can bring anything to be truth, when it serves the turn, that happens just then to be needful, and make the same thing, to be false at another time. And this method of circumstantiating matters of fact into truth or falsehood, suited to occasion, is found admirably useful to the solving the most difficult phenomena of state, for by this art the Solianarian Church made persecution be against their principles at one time, and reducible to practice at another. They made taking up arms, and calling in foreign power to depose their prince, consistent with non-resistance, and passive obedience. Nay, they went farther, they distinguished between a Crowleans taking arms, and a Solianarians, and fairly proved this to be rebellion, and that to be non-resistance. Nay, and which exceeded all the power of human art in the highest degrees of attainment, that ever it arrived to on our side the moon, they turned the table so dexterously, as to argument upon one sort of Crowleans, call it Priestarians, that though they repented of the war they had raised in former times, and protested against the violence offered their prince, and after another party had in spite of them beheaded him, took arms against the other party, and never left contriving their ruin, till they had brought in his son, and set him upon the throne again. Yet by this most dexterous way of twisting, extending, contracting, and distinguishing of phrases and reasoning, they presently made it as plain as the sun at noonday, that these Priestarians were king-killers, commonwealth's men, rebels, traitors, and enemies to monarchy, that they restored the monarchy only in order to destroy. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.